When I was reflecting on today's gospel, I recalled St. Ignatius' words, earthly life in this brief period is given to us by mercy of God in order that we may use it for our salvation, that is the restoration of ourselves from death to life. If you look at today's gospel more closely and examine the gospel through a spiritual lens, then we will see that this woman was spiritually struggling. She was possessed by the spirit which drained her strength to the point where she could not even stand up straight. But she didn't give up. She was sick for 18 years, was always found in a synagogue, until one day Jesus Christ saw her and healed her. Christ saw her faith. He saw her heart's disposition. She was made well because of her faith. And when she was healed, she did not run off, but rather she gave thanks to God, which is another hint for us that her spiritual life was in proper state. Nothing else mattered in her life except giving thanks to God. Why should this gospel be so important to us? We know that the way of salvation that leads to eternal life is narrow and difficult. So we should not expect from ourselves an easy life, but rather a life that is a constant battle with our sins. All the saints lived earthly life, their earthly life, in troubles and hardships. And not one of them reached heaven by following the broad way of the earthly prosperity. They entered the narrow path to salvation and endured afflictions, and we must do the same. The woman was not a fool in today's gospel. She knew and she accepted her sickness. She accepted her sickness not in a defeated way, but rather with hope that she can be healed of this disease. She didn't give up. She went to synagogue to pray, and Christ found her in a synagogue. If we are serious about our faith, if we are serious about our Christian life, if we are serious about entering paradise, then we must do the same as the woman. The broad path does not lead to paradise. I'm sorry. When I was a seminarian, I remember talking to a priest, and he told me his experience from one of the events he attended. He said that while he was at the event, he had some free time, so he went for a walk. And during his walk, he stopped to pet a dog. And while he was petting the dog, the owner said to him, "Your God killed my daughter." The priest was stunned, but being priest, he said, "What's going on? How can I help?" And the man said, "Your God did not save my daughter, and I hate him, and I hate you too, so go away." The priest walked away. He didn't want to cause any kind of drama, even though he wanted to help the man with his grief. We can see the same kind of thinking in the society nowadays. Rather than looking at the sources of the problems, people immediately go to God and blame Him for our own negligence. This man could have easily blamed the drug dealer or her friends who caused her to go on the wrong path. But no, he blamed God, who gave us free will, which is the sign of the biggest love one can give. St. Ignatius says that suffering comes either through our negligence, willingly separating ourselves from God and opening ourselves to Satan, or suffering comes through the narrow way that was designed by God for our benefit. Everyone who believes in the Savior must necessarily acknowledge and confess their fall and their state of exile on earth. We must acknowledge and confess it by our actual life, so that our acknowledgement and confession may be a living and effective and not dead and ineffectual. Our life on earth is for repentance. The woman repented for 18 years to get rid of her infirmity. She was persistent and diligent with her love towards God, and not once it's mentioned that she blamed God, that it's His fault. For sure, she could have cursed God and be on her way living her life of misery, but rather than doing that, she endured the pain, sacrificed herself, and eventually God gave her freedom from her pain. This is how spiritual life works. First, we have to accept that we sin every single day, and by sinning, we turn ourselves away from God and towards Satan. But then if you are willing to start to fight the spiritual battle, then slowly we will find what sins and passions are resting within our heart. And we have to be brutally honest with ourselves. No pointing in fingers, well, this or that person made me fall. I have sinned because of somebody else, or that I have no sins. Christian life is constant repentance. Why would God do that? Why would God want us to suffer with sins? As a good father, as God is, He lets us fall. He gives us difficulties in our life in order to recenter us and make us focus back on Him. He is the giver of all good things. In my home country, we have a saying which is equivalent to a saying here in the United States, mess around and find out. I think we all know this saying or this phrase very well. Well, every good father lets their children, especially when they are younger, experience painful situation, a painful fall or whatever else. If it is not done because children are not loved, but rather it's done because sometimes it is the best way to teach them. Pain refocuses and teaches a lot. My son, when he started to walk, we bought him a small step stool so he can, you know, go over it and exercise or whatever. And he likes to jump off of it. Painless burner of energy. I love it. But then he decided to start and dance and twist around the room. And I told him, move the stool away or you'll trip. Well, he didn't listen, so he tripped. He cried for a few minutes. And then before he started to do his shenanigans again, he took the stool and he put it so far away that not even a ghost would be able to trip over it. And then he started with his shenanigans. God works the same. Sometimes He gives us warning, and sometimes He lets us be. But it is up to us to answer. It is up to us to know the law and not to transgress the commandments. Another example that was on my mind is the Old Testament. We all know Prophet Job from the Old Testament. And God let the devil tempt him and be in total misery. Even Job's wife told Job to curse God and die. And Job did not. He stood strong. And when he endured everything, God has blessed him 100 times more than before. And there are many more examples that we could use from the scripture. But we can see that the trials are given for us to shape us up, because we strayed away. So let this woman for 18 years be our encouragement that if we start to fight with our sins and sinful passions, victory will be in our sight. But it might take a year, might take 10 years, 20 years, or even our whole life. No matter what the length is, we have to keep diligent. When Melanie and Matt messaged me after the birth of their son, the second text message was, "Can we have baptism on the 26th? So, sure. So I immediately went to the gospel and I read the gospel book and I said, well, maybe intentionally, maybe not with intention, you picked very beautiful gospel. Gospel that you can reflect for the rest of your life. Matthew will go through a lot of hardships in his life. And as a parent, it will be very painful for you and you want to help him. But sometimes it is good to endure pain and show him through yourselves that enduring pain is something that is necessary in spiritual life. And that is one of the best ways you can teach him how to be a strong, tough Christian. Not just Christian, but a tough guy. You can already know from today's baptism he's a tough guy. So be diligent. Love him. And always point him towards God. Glory to Jesus Christ.